Amen. I'm glad I am. Amen. I can say, yes, I am washed in the blood, amen, of the Lamb. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like to turn with us to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 6. Ephesians, chapter number 6. And by the way, I appreciate the people from Fights Chemdry came and cleaned our carpet for us. And then I know Miss Ruth put a lot of time into vacuuming and getting things ready. And then today we got the ladies, Miss Ruth and my wife and Miss Amanda came and wiped the chairs down and all this kind of stuff. And Brother Steve and myself and Joshua, we got them put back out there. Amen. And we was going to try to put them in a straight line. We said we remembered who was going to be sitting in them. We need crooked chairs. Amen. For I won't say it, but we got them as straight as we could. I hope it is a blessing. I thank God for it. Amen. For the good days given us. Amen. Brother Hall came over and helped move some of this furniture around, and that's a blessing. Amen. I appreciate all the help. Different things that's done. I may be missing some. I hope I'm not. But I appreciate all that's been done and just the goodness of God. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 18 is where I'm going to take my text from. Verse number 18 down through verse number 20. And give you the thoughts that's on my heart. I don't have a long, lengthy message, I don't think, tonight. And I'll give it to you and then get out of the way. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Pray in all ways with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now that those three verses that I read to you, and actually verse 17 that I didn't read, are all one sentence. My teachers in English in high school used to fuss at me for having run-on sentences. God was just getting me ready to preach these Pauline epistles. Amen. And this is a long sentence, but it's got a lot to say. I want to deal primarily with verse number 19. He's talking about your prayer, and you're praying for others, but he said, pray for me that utterance may be given unto me. I'm thinking about that utterance, and my topic tonight is prophetic utterance. I want to ask Brother Gary Hall if he would lead us to the Lord in prayer at this time. Yes, thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes, Lord, thank you. Help us, Lord. Yes, Lord, help us, please. Amen, amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. I'm preaching, as I said, on prophetic utterance. I'm not, hope you understand, I'm not saying pathetic utterance. That's what some might think. But prophetic utterance. Now, this text that I read to you in the context is talking to you about praying for your preacher, not just pastor, but preachers, men that are proclaiming the Word of God. And, of course, we would include missionaries in that. That's what missionaries, by the way, are preachers. Amen. And I recognize God may have some people as a missionary helper that's not a preacher, but I think a real missionary is a preacher. Amen. And so it's talking about praying for those that utter the Word of God, those that expound or exhort people with the Word of God and give out the Word of God. It deals with having the ability and having the opportunity to open their mouth and declare the Word of God. Amen. Now, this text is not dealing with the call to preach. This text is rather dealing with the courage to preach. Amen. It's dealing with the chance to preach. Amen. The opportunity. Paul said, I want you to pray for me that I'll have the courage I need to have, that I can open my mouth boldly and proclaim the Word of God. He said, I want you to pray for me that I not only have the boldness, but I'd have that opportunity, the chance that I might say what needs to be said and effectively do so. Amen. And every preacher wants their preaching to be effective. Amen. I don't know of any preachers that do, but I never go to a service and say, well, for example, well, it's just a Wednesday night. We'll just have some kind of little Bible talk and go to the house. I never look at it that way because I never know what you need.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And I doubt you do, to be honest with you. Most of the time, we don't know what we're going to face, and sometimes we don't even know what's going on right now. As far as our spiritual need in a lot of cases. But I say this, I also never know who will be in any given service and who may never be there again. You don't know. And so you're hoping that every time you preach, that every time you sow good seed, you're hoping that it is good seed and that it will fall in some good soil, that it can bring forth a good harvest to the glory of God. Amen. And so I'm talking about this prophetic utterance, this preaching, that it would be powerful and that it would have the effect that we're longing for it to have. Now, thinking about that, I've been thinking about the book of Malachi and have been preaching about that and the prophet Malachi and prophetic utterance that he gave. That's what got me originally thinking about this thought. And so I've got two thoughts I want to bring about prophetic utterance. I'll do the first tonight, maybe another, I don't know, maybe next Wednesday night or not, but sometime down the road. But instead of focusing on the prayer that Ephesians 6, 18 and 19 speaking about, I want to focus on the preaching or that focus of the prayer. Paul said, when you're praying, look back with me if you will. Look at verse number 17 that I didn't read. We'll read the whole sentence again. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now I'm going to stop just a minute and dissect that. The only way people get saved is by hearing and preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Somewhere they have to come in contact. I don't necessarily mean it's not the man. I'm not talking about the man, but it is God taking the Word of God and expounding it to their heart. Amen. And He's chosen the foolishness of preaching to get that done. Amen. He has not chosen movies. He has not chosen plays. Amen. He has not chosen puppet shows and basketball games. Listen, we're going to play basketball to win them to Jesus. We're going to have to give them some preaching to win them to Jesus. Amen. We hear all kinds. I hear all kinds of stuff people's going to do to win people to God. And the only thing that will win people to God is the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. And so Paul said, you need the helmet of salvation. How are you going to get that? You're going to have the sword of the Spirit. You're going to have the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Verse number 18 goes with that. Praying always with all prayer. You need the Word of God and you need prayer. That's right. But when you pray, he said, prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me. Amen. Listen, Highland Ford Baptist Church ought to be praying for each other. Amen. We mention some needs sometimes. We'll mention a need, for example, talking about Brother Shelby and Miss Louise. They recently were sick and had problems. And I say, word, they're probably still having problems, and I don't know the answer to all of it. And we want to pray for them. Pray because of Brother Shelby's mother, things such as that. But not just that. We can look across the congregation, and we can see people that are not here, or we can see where they're not here. And we know there's need that we pray for them, that God might touch and help and meet that need. Amen. Amen. So we ought to be praying for one another, but he said when you're praying, don't just pray for one another, pray for the preacher.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Pray for me that utterance may be given unto me. I might have the power in the preaching, that's what he's talking about. That I may open my mouth boldly, there's the courage, and make known the mystery of the gospel. Amen. That's the opportunity for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that wherein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Amen. So Paul's saying, help, you pray for me that God would help me, that I might say what I ought to say, and that I'd say it with fervency, and I'd say it with assurance, amen, that there's no questioning what we believe. Amen. What we're delivering is the truth. Now, since we've been dealing with Malachi so much, and I've been looking at Malachi's sermon, I believe the book of Malachi is a sermon. There's sermons, but the whole book, and I believe that's the way the Bible's written, that the whole book of the Bible, the whole book of individual books, can be a sermon to God's people or a sermon to the sinner that God's calling. Amen. And I want tonight to think about, and I have been focusing on Malachi as a preacher, not just a prophet, not just foretelling the future, but preaching a sermon to those people because they need help today, not just dreaming about what may take place tomorrow. Amen. 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 Now, in thinking about that, you see, Malachi did foretell the future, but he also dealt specifically with the sins of his day and the sins of his people. Amen. And by the way, that is the job of a preacher. Amen. Not only to preach about prophecy and future events to take place, but to preach about everyday living. Amen. And the sins and the attitudes and the actions of the people in the pew. Amen. The actions and the things that need to be repented of, the things that need to be added into our life, all those are things that the preacher needs to preach about. Amen. You see, most people look at the job of a prophet as simply being one that foretells the future. And the prophet, that is part of his work. The prophet is regarded as merely the predictor. The one that can foretell. He's a predictor whose words are left on record as proof of the divine origin of the events that are to take place. But if you view the Old Testament prophets only as foretelling the future, you'll miss a lot of their message. Because they're dealing with the sins of the present day Israel in that day. Amen. Dealing with the sins of our present day in this day. Amen. And so we need to see that. We need to see it. And get the, not just facts for the future, but things I can use today, things that can help me today and bring glory to God. I believe that's right. That's what those facts of the future are to represent, to help me have confidence that God knows what He's talking about when He says these things. Amen. Now, as we think about this prophetic utterance, I want to relate three important points in the introduction of this study, and that's all I'll get tonight, is the introduction. First of all, I want to talk about the prophetical gift and office. And then I'll talk about the prophetical utterance, and then the prophetical inspiration. First of all, the prophetical gift and office. There is the prophetical gift, and there is the prophetical office. There are those who held the prophetical office, such as Moses, who led God's people and made many predictions of the future. But Moses' primary, when you think of him holding that office, his primary job was not just telling things that's going to happen, but was leading God's people day by day through the wilderness and to the promised land. Amen. He had that prophetic office. Then there are those prophets that had the gift of prophecy, and yet they did not have the office. In other words, they told what would happen, but they didn't have a following of people, so to speak. Such as Enoch, recorded in Jude chapter, of course, chapter 1, verse number 17. Talks about Enoch and the things he prophesied. And as far as we know, nobody followed Enoch. Enoch walked with God. You ever read about somebody else walking along with him? No. I know later, Noah walked with God. Amen. I'm glad he did. And maybe he saw some of that from his great-grandfather's life. I don't know. But I'll simply say, I think Enoch had the gift of prophecy, but not necessarily the office. Moses had the office and the gift as well. So there's two, I believe there's a division. Now, the prophetic office ceased with Christ. Amen. 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 There's no new prophets today. There's false prophets today.
Right. Amen.
Amen. There's no new prophets today. I'll say it again. The prophetic office ended with Christ. John the Baptist was the last prophet, amen, that's going to arise as we talk about Old Testament prophets and that Old Testament economy. And by the way, all those prophets were pointing to Christ because all prophecy ends in Christ. Amen. And so that prophetic office ended when Christ came. But the prophetical gift was allowed to continue on until we got the completed Word of God. Amen. There were some of those gifts, those miraculous gifts that God allowed to continue on in the early church, by the way, as a sign to the Jews that were present. Amen. And God allowed those miraculous gifts to continue until we got a completed Bible. Amen. Now, I do wish to make it clear that I do not believe or give credence to these modern dreams and visions. Amen. I had a dream the other night that I hope comes true. Amen. It's amazing to me that I dreamed it. I'm glad I did, but I hope it comes true. It'd be a blessing to me. I've dreamed about people getting saved. I'd love to see that dream come true. Amen. The dream that I'm talking about that I had, I dreamed about a man that, in my dream. The man got right with God. And I fell on him weeping over him. And I'd do it. I'd be glad to fall publicly and weep on him if he'd get right with God. Amen. That's a dream that I'd like to see. But that's not a prediction of the future, because God's not going to tell me those secrets. I've got His Word right here. Amen. The completed Word. Amen. Amen. Well, we do have the completed Word of God there. That is the complete revelation of God's will. Amen. Therefore, God allowed those spiritually gifted ministries of the Holy Ghost to cease with the completed Bible. I believe that. Amen. Everything in the life of the Christian is to be weighed and judged by the Bible. Amen. Amen. I remember reading in studying Baptist history, James Clark, and all this is adding, so this, a lot of these things I'm saying is not in my notes. These are things God's given me while I'm here, so He helps me take a little short message and make it longer. Amen. Amen. John Clark in Baptist history, you probably remember and know about this, but John Clark started what I believe was the first Baptist church in America, and there in Newport, Rhode Island, and of course Roger Williams was there and involved in that, and some think he started the first one, and I won't argue with you, but I do believe it was John Clark, and John Clark in getting that church started, and then trying to get them formed and going, they tried to get a charter from the King of England, which was not King James at that time. It's King Charles, which was James's son, who was not a godly man, amen, but was a wicked man. And by the way, while John Clark was standing in the king's chamber trying to get that that passed, John Bunyan was in the prison cell in Bedford for not taking a license from the government and not accepting a license from the state church. And so John Clark's over there begging for a freedom in America that they didn't even have in England. God used that, but I don't mean to get off on it, but while John Clark was there, his little church in Newport, Rhode Island was having some discrepancies, having some problems. Obadiah Holmes was filling in as the pastor while John Clark was gone. And the question arose. Obadiah Holmes had an answer, but he said, I'm going to defer to the elder pastor. And he deferred. They wrote the letter to John Clark, and here was the question. Do we get our leadership from the Spirit, or do we get our leadership from the Scriptures? John Clark wrote back, and this is Baptist doctrine, by the way, which is Bible doctrine. John Clark wrote back and said the Scriptures must be the final authority, because anybody can say the Spirit told them anything, and it could be any spirit.
Right. Amen.
Amen. But we only have one Bible, so people can say the Lord told me this, and if it don't line up with that Bible, you might as well forget it. It's not the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not the Holy Spirit that said those things. All right. Well, didn't mean to get off on that, but there's some things to be rejected. There's some things to be discarded if it does not line up with the King James Bible. Amen. Now, the prophetic gift, I'm talking about the gift and office. The prophetic gift and the prophetic office have both now come to completion. But they were once both greatly used of God throughout the Old Testament and into the New Testament in the early days of the New Testament church. So for our study tonight on this subject about the prophetic utterance, I'm going to deal primarily with that Old Testament office, how the prophets spake. And I want to think about how they spake and use that in comparison with the New Testament preacher and his job to speak for God to the people. All right, there's the prophetical office and give. Number two, I want to talk about the prophetical utterance itself. Now, you ask the question, what is, in its widest sense, what is a prophet? What is a prophet? Well, we derive the word prophet directly from the Greek word, and I didn't even write the Greek word down, but it's Strong's number 4396. It means a foreteller. A foreteller or an inspired speaker. Amen. That word, Strong's 4396, is a derivative from the Greek verb, which is Strong's number 5346, that means to speak for another, that is, in his place. Amen. Now, I want you to think about that a minute. So a prophet is somebody that's not speaking for himself. He's speaking for somebody else. In its basic form, that's the prophet. And that's clearly seen in the Hebrew word as well. Strong's number 5030 means a prophet, an inspired man. It is a derivative of a Hebrew word, number 5012, in Strong's meaning to speak by inspiration. Amen. In the Hebrew, the idea of a prophecy or the prophet speaking is the idea of something boiling up within him, a fire in his bones. Amen. And all the men that are preachers understand some of that. Amen. There's a fact that old preachers used to talk about, I want to give you the burden that God's placed upon me. There's a fire in their bones, and woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Amen. We've got to deliver our heart, and we've got to deliver what God's put in. It's not my thoughts. It's not even my desires. It's what God placed in me that needs to go forth. Amen. That's the idea of a prophet. Boiling up, gushing out like a fountain. Amen. And there comes the idea of a spewing forth of words. Amen. Amen. Don't get upset at a preacher if he spits a little bit when he preaches. He's trying to get his words out. Sometimes saliva comes out with words. One time, years ago, I was in a large church. Brother Sammy Allen was preaching there. Brother Elliot Smith and myself went there. And I don't remember, our wives went that night. They did. We went to that same meeting. There's a few nights I know they went at least one night with us, and I think one night without us. But we went, and that church was, it was large. I'm telling you, they had a balcony in the church. They had a big, I don't think it was a baby grand. I believe it was the grand piano up on the platform, and the song leader wore a tux with tails and all. I mean, buddy, he was fancy. It was a fancy church. And that fella sitting on the front row right here where Austin... I said that on purpose. I know his name's Texas. we're Houston and Kristen sitting. It's somewhere along that line. And Brother Sam is just preaching away. And when he's over here preaching away, and he turns towards that fellow, and when he did, a big hunk of slobber went right on his lapel right there. And you could just see the feller. Brother Sammy took out his handkerchief and wiped him. And Brother Sam said, that won't hurt you. He said, matter of fact, if you're proud, it might help you. I said, praise God. Amen. Brother Sammy took that boy down a notch right there. Amen. Just by spitting on him. Amen. But, amen. I didn't mean to get off on that, but that's a true happening. Here, and I'm talking about the spitting and slobber. And I don't try to spit, but I do sometimes. I know. But it's because, and other preachers, it's because there's something in us. We're trying to get it out, and we're trying to do it with force because what we're saying is important. Amen. It's not just reading an essay. It's not just giving you an idea. We've got something that is a divine idea. It is an inspired word. Amen. I mean, it is God's word breathed, and we're trying to give it out to you. Amen. That's the way it ought to be, I believe. But this idea of the prophetical utterance in itself, the primary meaning was simply one who spoke for another. Now, I'll show you. Turn with me to Exodus chapter number 7. We'll look at some verses. And we'll study this thought about the prophetic utterance for just a moment. Exodus chapter 7 and verse number 1. You know what's going on in these early chapters of Exodus. God sending Moses to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Moses saying, I can't talk. And God said, well, you got a brother that can. Amen. Exodus chapter 7, verse number 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Now you recognize what God's saying there? God's not saying that Moses is a god, but he's saying Pharaoh's going to fear you. Pharaoh don't know what a real god is, by the way.
Right.
Pharaoh's going to fear you like he would one of his gods. It's a little g, by the way. Amen. He's going to fear you like he would one of his gods. But he said, Aaron is going to be your prophet. The idea there, Aaron can speak for you. That's the simplest idea of what prophetical utterance is. It is one that speaks for another. So it's obvious that's what a prophet is. He's speaking for another. Whether his words relate to the past, or his words relate to the present, or his words relate to the future events, he's a prophet if he's speaking for another in that primary teaching. It doesn't matter if it's facts or doctrines or promises. What he's saying on behalf of another. And so that's called prophetical utterance. The prophetic gift was therefore something bestowed by God on anyone by virtue of which he was qualified and authorized to speak for God. Amen. That's why the donkey was allowed to speak up to Balaam. Because God authorized him to speak. The Bible said God loosed his tongue.
Right, right.
Amen. Now, I've seen someone with a loose tongue. I'm not sure God loosed it. But God loosed that donkey's tongue so he could say something on behalf of God.
Right.
Amen. To that wayward prophet. Amen. Well, there's another term that is used to apply to prophets more anciently than the idea of prophet. And that is the term of a seer. You remember that? If you'll turn a few books over, 1 Samuel chapter number 9. And you may remember this as God sending Samuel to anoint Saul as king, first king over Israel. And Saul's finding his way to Samuel, all right, by the providence of God. 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse number 9. You remember that Kish, Saul's father, had lost some donkeys. Saul was going looking for him. In verse number 9, before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. You see that? The seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Now, here's the idea that comes from that. It implies the substance of the prophetic message was something that did not originate in his own mind. He saw something that he's trying to give out. Amen. Sometimes the prophets receive their message miraculously by visions. Sometimes in a dream they would receive their message. There, Balaam himself in Numbers chapter number 24, and you don't have to turn, but I've got this listed. Balaam speaks of himself as, quote, the man whose eyes were opened. When he's talking about his prophecy, Balaam was a prophet. He could speak things for another, in this case for God. He could speak, and he said his eyes were opened. Amen. Well, the main idea contained in the word of the prophet is that the communication was something presented to the seer as an extra sensory knowledge, not something that originated in his own mind. Amen. These men that had the ability to sense things from God were later respected not just for their visions, but for the authority. Are you listening?
Yes, sir.
They were not just respected because of what they could see, but because who was speaking through them. Amen. That's one reason why you ought to, and you ought to train your children to respect men of God. Amen. Because they're speaking for somebody. They're representing somebody. Amen. Brother William said Sunday, I don't remember morning or night, but he's talking about days gone by when even sinners respected the house of God. And sinners would respect a man of God. Amen. You know, one reason why they don't today is because we have failed to show that respect sometimes ourselves or to make sure that it's shown through others. Amen. I appreciate the church here. By the way, let me throw this in while I'm there. Brother Williams also told me he appreciated the range of age that's represented here in the church. That doesn't give me the right word, but it'll come to me. But anyway, the fact that the diversity, that's what I'm looking for. The diversity of ages that we're not just a church of old folk. We're not just a church of hip kids. Amen. We're a church of all kinds. Amen.
Right.
He don't even have to know us, but he knew we was a church of all kinds. Amen. But him and his wife both made the comment. They said, you don't know how refreshing it was to see these young men and these young ladies sitting in church and paying attention and coming by and actually shaking our hand and looking us in the eye when they did it. I said, amen, praise God, amen. The modern child's not taught that, but I'm glad some people still teaching that, amen. And that seer in the Old Testament, that prophet in the Old Testament, was not just respected because of the ability that he had, but the authority that he represented. Amen. He had the authority and the ability to speak for God. Amen. This idea of the office of the prophet as the spokesman for God corresponds very well, I believe, with the preacher as speaking forth the word of God. That's why Paul said, pray for me for utterance.
Amen.
Amen. That I can speak up for God as I ought, he said. Amen. As I ought. The office of a preacher is never to be a job entered into. It is a holy calling. Amen. Amen. It's not just, well, one day I woke up and decided I was going to be a preacher. You're crazy. Amen. Amen. I used to tell them, and I remember I had a few men come to me and talk to me. One man in particular, he said, preacher, I think God's called me to preach. And he loved, we'd go street preaching, and he loved to be a witness and was a powerful witness. And he said, preacher, I think God may have called me to preach. I don't know. He said, but some people tell me just go ahead and preach. And I said, I don't say that. I say, nail her down. Make sure you're called. Because if you're not sure you're called, number one, you're crazy. Number two, you'll quit. Amen. Amen. But if you got the calling down inside, that fire will never go out. Amen. You may even disqualify yourself, but I believe the fire will still burn. Amen. I believe that's right. Well, the idea of the prophet speaking for God corresponds with the man of God. He's got a holy calling of God placed upon that man of God's choosing. Amen. By combining the facts of these two terms, we come to a sufficient, distinct notion of the prophetic gift. It was direct communication with God to the soul, either by vision or by audio voice or by whatever means to allow that person that received the communication from God to speak authoritatively about the issue. He could say, these things are going to happen, and he knew they were going to happen because he hadn't dreamed it up. He hadn't read it in a magazine or a book. He'd got it from God. Amen. Moses could walk into Pharaoh, Pharaoh being the most powerful man in the world in that day. Amen. Egypt in its prime, Egypt in its power. And yet Moses could walk in there and say, God said, let my people go. Amen. Amen. You know why? Because he knew God said it. He knew God said it. That's why Elijah could walk up to Ahab and say to Ahab, Ahab, it's not going to rain. It's not going to dew. There's not going to be any moisture in the ground until I say so, because God said he's going to shut the heavens.
Right.
Amen. He had that authority because he knew he'd gotten that voice from God. Amen. He'd gotten that message, whether it's a vision, whether it's an audible voice, whether it was a mental impression, yet he had the authorization. Let me go on another step. Not only does he have the authorization to speak for God, but he has the requirement to speak for God. I think today, I think the low-downest person in the world is not a sodomite, but it's a preacher that won't preach. I'm serious about it. Sending boys and girls to hell because they want to make mom and daddy happy. Amen. Because they want to keep their position rather than trying to rescue somebody that's on the verge of slipping off into eternal damnation. Amen. Won't say anything because they know it's not politically correct. Amen.
Right.
God help us. You say, preacher, we don't have that problem. I tell you, you better pray for the preacher, not just me, for the preachers. You ought to pray for them, that God would anoint them, that God would not only authorize them, but he'd put the burning in them that they couldn't stay. They'd have to preach. Amen. Amen. That they'd have to let it out. Amen. Well, he is enabled and he is required to speak for God. Now, having said that, he's enabled, he's required, does not mean that it totally overrode his will. You say, how do you know that? Well, Brother Joel's here. He's been preaching about Jonah. Jonah had a stubborn will. God said go, Jonah had to go. Didn't change the fact he didn't want to. Didn't change the fact he didn't go when he first said go. Amen. He went on a long way around detour. God got him there, but it was God. Amen. And it did not totally override his will. He was still disobedient and an unwilling prophet. I believe there's men that may be called of God that have refused to preach what God said preach. Amen. And many seems like he's doing it more and more in these days. Well, sometimes that vision is presented, a vision, sometimes words were heard, sometimes mental impressions were made, and sometimes the impulse was to act rather than words. We read the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel had to act out his prophecies. You read the book of Hosea, Hosea had to live his prophecy. Amen. But the course of conduct related to the speech related to the message. The message was what's important. Now, in each case, the seer or the prophet, it was needful for them to be inspired of God. Amen. The message had to be reliably authoritative. The inspiration had to be plenary or complete. Had to have the Word of God, what God said, that was sufficient, extending to the words that he used. In other words, he had to get the idea from God, not just a part of it, but enough of it to help somebody know which way we need to go from here. Amen. Amen. And God's given him the utterance. Now, Paul said, when you pray for me, pray that I have boldness to speak. Pray for me that I have opportunity to speak. Now, here I'm going. Paul was called of God. Paul had the calling of God on him. He was authorized by God. He was required by God. But he said, I still need you to pray for me that I'll be able to fulfill my duties that God's placed upon me. Amen. Amen. Now, let me give you the last one. There's the prophetical inspiration. Turn with me to Revelation chapter number 19. Last book and right, getting close to the last of it. Revelation chapter 19. There's a verse that I've heard it a number of times. I never grasp it until studying this message. I think I see it better than I've ever seen it. Still not sure I know the answer to all of it, so don't come asking me to dig too deep. I may not be able to go too deep. Revelation chapter number 19. And verse number 10. This is talking about the marriage supper of the Lamb. And John said, I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have testified, that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God. I'm going to stop just a minute before I read the rest of it. Now, I have never misunderstood that. The preacher does not want you worshiping him.
Right.
He wants you worshiping God.
Amen.
There's a big difference between John and the popes. The popes do want you to worship them. Amen. When Cornelius fell at Peter's feet, Peter rebuked him. The popes don't do that. Amen. When Paul and Apollos came and they called them gods, they rebuked them. Amen. I'm telling you, any good man of God that's filled with the Spirit of God would rebuke you for worshiping them, because we don't desire the worship. We don't deserve the worship. We know who does deserve the worship. Amen. And that's Jesus. And he said, worship him. But go on. The rest of the verse is what I had trouble with. But it makes sense. Look here. Worship him. Let me find my place again. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now that phrase, I had questioned that phrase. The testimony, I underlined it, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now, if you listen to some former sermons I preached, I didn't know it, somebody brought it to my attention, I put John the Baptist on the Isle of Patmos. I thought, I do know the difference between John the Baptist and John the Baptist Revelator. Amen. But John the Revelator was in the position here of a prophet or a seer. He was seeing visions. Right? Before the book was completed, he still had that gift. All right? He still had that ability. He saw visions. He saw the future. He's foretelling out the future on that Isle of Patmos. This glorified angel or this glorified saint, whoever it was, that came to him and gave him more vision, aided in the revelation of that vision. Amen. When he said those things to him, he said about this revealing statement at the end of the verse, he said, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It seems to indicate to me that what he's saying is that every prophet that ever prophesied got it from Jesus. Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I think it makes sense. It is actually Jesus speaking through them. Amen. Amen. And I could say a lot of, if Jesus is the Word, then he's the prophet. Amen. Amen. And so every prophet that spoke for God, I'm talking about a real prophet, was actually Jesus speaking through the prophet. Now, I believe I can show you that in the scripture. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. I love these verses. And when I saw this, it just opened it up to me. Amen. I like it when God does that, don't you? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12. Amen. Amen. Peter's talking about the faith, salvation, he said. All right, verse number 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired. Now he's talking about Old Testament prophets. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit, look at that, the Spirit of Christ which was in them. Huh. How are they prophesying? Because the Spirit of Christ is in them. Amen. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I'm going to keep reading. All right. Verse 11. I'll go back and start. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified. That's Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus testifying. Amen. Beforehand, the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us did they minister these things or the things which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look unto. Amen. Amen. Or into. I underline in verse number 10, I underline the prophets. In verse number 11, I underline the phrase, the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified. How did the prophets give prophecy? It was when the Spirit of God was in them, and the Spirit of Christ was in them and testified of Him. Amen. Amen. Now, he said he ties that with the preaching. He talks about that same Spirit. They have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Amen. And so Jesus is the prophet. Jesus is the one that gives the power, the utterance, the inspiration that we might preach. There's three important things to note about this, and I'll be done. All right? I want to point out, first of all, I want you to notice that Peter is referencing the prophets that prophesied about the coming Messiah. In verse number 10, the last phrase, he said, the grace that should come unto you. Amen. Grace came unto us. Those prophets were prophesying about that. That what was grace? That was Jesus. Amen. Amen. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. Amen. So grace came unto us was when Christ came unto us, and they're prophesying that. Second thing, notice that these prophets spoke being moved by the Spirit of Christ. Verse 11. Their prophecies were actually the testimony of Jesus, as Revelation 19:10 had said. And it testified, you can see that phrase in verse 11, it testified by the Spirit of Christ being in them. Amen. Now, combining these two passages, Revelation 19, 1 Peter chapter 1, we have a great fact developed that would tell us and show us the prophetical gift was actually Christ speaking by the agency of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Upon the minds of the prophets and declaring God's will and declaring God's word to men. Amen. If Jesus is the Word, and He is the Word, Jesus is the revelation of God. Jesus is the manifestation of God. So the only way God can be manifested, Old Testament or New Testament, is for Jesus to do the manifesting. Amen. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Amen. That 79-year-old woman that got saved in Larned, Kansas Sunday night got saved because somebody preached and presented Jesus. And Jesus testified of Himself through the preaching of the Word of God to the heart of the sinner. Amen. That's how I got saved, June the 29th, 1974, was when the preacher had preached and Jesus Christ testified of Himself to me, amen, and revealed Himself to me, thank God, amen. Amen. Boy, that blesses me, makes me want to run a lap, amen. Whew. I need to save my energy for a marathon, don't I, amen. Now, I'll say this, Jesus Christ, if you want to look at it, I believe if you want to look at it spiritually, Jesus Christ was the only prophet. And the only priest. And the only king. Amen. Amen. He's the supreme prophet, the supreme priest, the supreme king. Amen. Amen. And so we see him prophesying through that prophetic gift. Amen. Well, the portion of his great work as the Redeemer through the agency of the Holy Ghost presents God to the heart of the sinner. It is Jesus speaking the word to our heart. Amen. Jesus is the representation and the revelation of God. Turn with me to Hebrews. I'll just show you a few more verses. I said these three things. I'm still on the second one. All right. So hold with me. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. I love these first three verses of Hebrews chapter 1. I'll read them to you. Point out just some words. You can underline them if you'd like. You don't have to. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers. How did he speak to them? By the prophets. That's what he said right there. Hath in these last days spoken unto us. How did he speak to us? By his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Who being the brightness of his glory. Who's this talking about? Who is the brightness of his glory? It's Jesus. Right? Jesus is the one that God made the worlds by. How did God make the worlds? He spoke the Word.
Right.
Amen. Amen. He spoke the Word and it was so. Jesus made it all. The Word made it all. Amen. Jesus made everything. Jesus is the express image of God. He talks about here's the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the Word of His power when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Amen. And amen. I underline the word God in verse 1. I underline the word spake in times past in verse 1. I underline by the prophets in verse number 1. In verse number 2, I underline the phrase, the express image of His person. Jesus Christ represents God to us. Jesus Christ reveals God to us. That's what He's saying, alright? Again, it's seen in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. You don't have to turn there. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Here's the phrase underlined. God was manifest in the flesh. How was that? Jesus. Amen. Manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in the glory. Amen. Amen and amen. Well, turn with me two more places. Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to show you. I could give you more. I've got more verses down here. I'm going to leave them. I said it's going to be short. I'm going to try to make it a little shorter than it was going to be. Amen. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. This is our Lord speaking now. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27. There's corresponding scripture. It says practically the same thing in Luke chapter 10 verse 22. But Matthew 11, 27. Here's what the Bible said. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son. And I like this phrase. And he to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him.
Amen.
Amen. Now, He's saying, God's so big that we could never know Him. Amen. Jesus is so powerful and big, I guess is the best way to, that we could never know Him. God knows the Son and the Son knows the Father, and nobody could know them except to them whom He, the Son, reveals Him. Amen. I'm glad God in His mercy. Listen, that Sunday morning when I got under conviction, by the way, I'd been under conviction from revival meeting. I couldn't say constant conviction, but there were times of great conviction. I'm glad for it. When God revealed Himself to me, He didn't reveal it all. I still don't see it all. Amen. I still don't know it all, but He revealed enough to me to amaze my soul and give me a hunger and a thirst for Him. Amen. And He drew me unto Himself. Amen. That was Jesus through the preaching of the Word of God doing that. Amen. Now that brings me to the third point to notice about 1 Peter 1:12. All right, you don't have to turn back there. Let me find it here and I'll read it. He said, unto whom it is revealed or was revealed, that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that preach the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. Now, you see, the prophets of the Old Testament were moved by the Spirit of Christ. I've talked about that. The preacher in the New Testament is to be moved by the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of Christ. Amen. Third person of Godhead. He's to be moved by the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel unto you. Amen. Now, the preaching of the gospel, I've seen sinners get saved out of John 3:16. Brother Hall preached that, was that last Wednesday night? Out of John 3, not 16, but out of John 3. I've seen sinners get saved out of preaching John 3. The gospel's in there. I've seen sinners saved out of preaching in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We call those the Gospels. But I have, and you have too, seen sinners saved out of other books of the New Testament or even books of the Old Testament or a sermon that was directed to saints rather than sinners, and yet somehow the sinner came to recognize Christ. How was that? That was God taking the Word of God and revealing God or Jesus through that Word to them, even though in the preacher's mind and in the context of it, it was not showing them the death, burial, and resurrection. It was showing them the truth of the Word of God. Amen. And God, when He breaks the bread, He can give it to whosoever He chooses and give them which peace He wants them to have and speak to them exactly what they need to hear to get what they need from God. Amen. That's why we need to pray, that God would anoint the preaching, not just my preaching, all the preaching, because God's going to hold us accountable for what we hear and what we do with what we hear. Amen. And we ought to pray, God, let the preaching have power that sinners might come face to face with herself and face to face with their sin, that they can be saved by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Well, I believe it's still that authoritative utterance received from God by the Holy Ghost, meant to be reliably and accurately expressed to others. That's preaching. That's the prophetical utterance Malachi had, Matthew had, Mark, Luke, and John had, and Paul prayed for. Amen. I believe he had it. Look, now I said one more place. Romans chapter 16. And I'll quit with this. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 25. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Paul's closing out this letter to the Romans. And he says, he's giving them the salutation, the ending of the letter. He says this, verse 25. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. Look at this phrase. And the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Paul's talking about prophetic utterance. And he said, what the truth that God wants to reveal to you, He don't want you to know what day Jesus is coming again. That's why He's not told us. He don't want us to know that. He don't even want us really worrying about that. He don't necessarily want you to know where Cain got his wife. Amen. He would have told us those things. I've said, He don't tell me where you got your wife, because I don't need to know where you got her. Amen. But He does tell us what we do need to know, and what He wants us to know. He wants us to know Jesus. That's what He wants us to know. And I could have chosen a million verses. Well, I could have chosen thousands, hundreds of verses out of the Scripture, especially the New Testament. In Acts chapter number 8, when Philip went down there to preach to the Ethiopian eunuch. You remember he had the scroll of Isaiah, and he's reading in that scroll, and that eunuch said, is this man talking about himself, or is he talking about another? You remember that? And you know what the Bible said Philip did to him? Philip preached unto him what? Jesus. Amen. That's what the world needs. They need Jesus. How are they going to get Jesus? He has to reveal Himself through the preaching of the Word of God, through the prophetic utterance of the Word of God. Men, women, boys, and girls come face to face with Jesus, and they'll have to say, as Pilate said, what shall I do with this man? Amen. What are you going to do? You've got to come face to face with Jesus. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Get them to come with a song. Pray for your preacher, not just your pastor, I'm saying the preachers. Pray that God would use the Word, give them power, anointing, authority, ability to be able to say what needs to be said right at that moment. But I'm amazed sometimes how God puts things right on time. Amen. I'll give you this illustration. We're going to sing in a minute. Sister Lisa Bell got some help the other Sunday night. It was from a preacher. Of course, it was from God. Not even by his preaching, because he didn't preach that night. I preached that night and she didn't get no help, but he didn't preach that night and she got help. I'm getting picking about that. But you know why? God used what he said at just the right time to let the light come on. And I think I'm describing that right. Let the light come on as to what really was bothering her and what she needed to do. That's what we pray for in preaching. Amen. That sinners, wherever they're at, that saints, wherever they're at, and when I don't just mean we're in the congregation, I mean in the frame of their life, whether they need help in the home, whether they need help with their finances, whether they need help with getting along with other people, whether they need help in their prayer life, that they can get what they need right in that area from the preaching of the Word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for letting us be here tonight. Thank you for helping me preach, giving me these thoughts. Father, I pray you'd help us that we would recognize it, Old Testament, New Testament, that it's the testimony of Jesus. That's what's important, that we can present Jesus to this world. Oh, Lord, help us better do that with our lips. Help us better do that with our life. Please, Lord, help us better represent Christ. Take this message, use it according to thy will. Get the glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. While we sing, if you need to come do business. 155, would you come?